today's show is brought to you by Fandor. Sign up online or in the app for a free one-week trial. Just $4.99 a month for your all-access pass. Playing now on Fandor is The Snows of Kilimanjaro, a film based on the 1936 short story by Ernest Hemingway, starring Susan Hayward, Ava Gardner, and Gregory Peck as a writer who reflects on his life as he lies dying from an infection while in the shadow of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another Fandor video podcast. To my right, the great Chris Kelly. And hey, Brent.
So good to be here, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we have a very special guest, but today I'm not going to introduce them because this guest is a friend of Chris Kelly. So, Chris, why don't you do the honors?
So we are honored today to have Chaz Ebert with us, who has been a great light in the film industry, in the culture around film for years and years and years. And, you know, ever since she was 5 years old, which was about 25 years ago, that Chaz jumped into it with her husband, Roger, and their amazing work over the years has been just a blessing to the film community. And we are deeply honored to have Chaz join us on the Fandor Film Podcast.
Welcome, so. Chaz.
Thank you, Chris. That was a great introduction. I'm so happy to see you today. And I've been watching your podcast, and you and Hooman have been doing great. So
thank you so much.
Well, don't you have a question for Chris? I mean, you can bust his balls a little bit if you want. Go ahead.
Can I say it? Because I haven't seen Chris for a while. Mm-hmm. And he has a beard and everything, and I'm so used to seeing him so clean cut and preppy.
Yeah, I've been trying to escape that. It's all the you know, sort of the COVID, the pandemic, you know, has led me to become a mountain man.
Well, that's a good excuse, well, right?
Good. Yes, it looks good.
Well, thank you so much.
During COVID, we've all let ourselves go a little bit, except for Chaz, who keeps getting more beautiful with the days.
Oh, you know what? I have to tell you my secret. This is my Zoom jacket. No matter what else I have on, the Zoom jacket adds a little color. So.
Perfect.
Well, Chaz, I've been following you. I've been watching interviews you've done. I've been reading articles about you. And I've heard you talk about the silver linings that come from the pandemic. And one of them is the No Malice Film Festival. Can you tell us about that?
It's the No Malice Film Contest. Yes. Film Contest. I'm on the board of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation. And one of the things that we discovered during the lockdown, and especially after, you know, the murder of George Floyd, we learned that a lot of the young people were having anxiety issues over race. And so we decided to have a film festival. Well, actually, it was before then, but we decided to have a film festival where young people between the ages of 11 to 21 could make films to express themselves on the issue of race and just where they found themselves in society. So
that's wonderful. Racial healing is talked about 24/7. Like, you can't get away from it. Social justice in today's world. Are there any personal experiences that you may want to share, either in your own life or somebody you know?
If I take it from my own life, I'm not going to use a name, but I had a friend, I had and have a friend who I knew, we were part of a women's organization. And whenever we would travel, we would sit together. She was so much fun. And I thought that, you know, she was so compassionate and kind to everyone. And I just assumed that we had very similar political beliefs, but we did not. Mm. And I remember when Colin Kaepernick decided to take a knee against the incidents of the killing of Black people during police stops or incidents. And she misinterpreted it completely differently and said that he was disrespecting veterans, which had nothing to do with veterans and disrespecting the flag and so forth. And we actually had kind of a a breakup over not just that incident, but some other things that we talked about. We realized that at the time, I think maybe tensions were so high that we weren't really listening to each other. So this went on for a little bit, and maybe about either some months or maybe almost a year later, we ended up at a luncheon together, and the whole time we were together apart, we realized that we missed each other's friendship, mm-hmm. and that we both rethought things. And when we saw each other, first of all, we gave each other a hug, but we sat apart from the other people and just listened. I just listened. What I asked her to explain to me in detail what her, misgivings were at the time and what she had learned since then. And she said, asked me to do the same thing. And we just listened to each other and realized that we were really the same person that we had known years before. We were still the same compassionate, kind, funny, friendly people, and that we just agreed to disagree on our political beliefs, but it didn't mean that we couldn't be friends.
I love that.
It was very painful. It was very painful. So
I love that story. I love everything about that story. The fact that you guys finally reconciled. Listen, every single person's going to get into a fight at one point or another. Like, it's a given. Even Chris has been disappointed in me on occasion.
I'm more disappointed him.
But you always have to be quick to reconcile. And whoever's watching this, if there's anyone in your life who you've had a falling out with because of a political belief or the vaccine, like, reach out to them. Make peace. Like, that's at the heart of your film contest, right, Chaz?
It is. It really was about bringing people together, connecting us, acknowledging that our common humanity actually is stronger and something that we should praise. We should
embrace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'll say one thing about Chris Kelly, because he's never going to brag about himself. But one of the things Chris aims to do and works hard on is getting people from the left and the right to just sit together and talk and converse. And I know it's a difficult thing, but I'm going to just say thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you so much. I do think it's important.
Is that true?
It's very important that we talk with people with different political beliefs. And the past few years have been, I think, especially trying in that front and in that area. But certainly making common cause with people. I try to regularly talk with people that I have different political beliefs or while still maintaining a very strong dedication to the idea that certain things aren't terribly negotiable, including constitutional government in America, and free and fair elections that are actually carried out mm-hmm. properly. So I mean, big lies can't be countenanced in politics, but people with different political beliefs need to be in dialogue regularly.
Chris, if you ever hold any dinners like that, I would love to be involved.
That'd be wonderful.
You know what else Chaz wants to be invited to?
What?
The Sacramento Kings game.
Absolutely. That's easy.
Yeah,
that's
Chris. Yes, that would be wonderful.
Come on out. We'll make that happen soon. We're back full capacity at Golden One Center now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Full capacity at Golden One Center now. So
Do you know that and this is not your team, but I was completely obsessed with the Chicago Bulls, of course, during the Michael Jordan run. And so mm-hmm. during quarantine, one of the first things I binge watched was The Last Dance.
Was The Last mm-hmm. Dance. Oh,
I
so good.
It. I was at a lot of those games. So.
I'm going to just say right now, that is probably, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, that is the best sports documentary ever made.
The best.
Let's talk about movie theaters and people gathering. Now, I've heard you say you love movies, you want people to return to the movies.
Yes.
Let's hear your thoughts on that, Chaz.
You know, I think that there are some movies that you don't want to watch on a little screen. You don't want to watch, Godzilla versus King Kong or Dune, or James Bond on your little this little screen, or even, you know, your TV screen at home, unless you can't help it. There are some people, for whatever reason, can only watch it that way. That's one thing. But if you're able to get out and see something in a big movie theater, go. It's just the best. And, you know, I thought that it was only the big movies like that that you should see at a movie theater, but I proved myself wrong. During quarantine, a movie, I guess it was last year, a movie called The Sound of Metal came out, and it was about a rock star who was going deaf. And it's the first movie where during quarantine, where I was so clued in to what sound engineers brought to a film. Now, I saw it at home because the theaters were closed when it first came out. But before the end of the year, it came out on the big screen. I went to, and even though I had seen it at home, it was a totally different experience, seeing how they modulated the sound to let you experience what a non-hearing person, how he perceived things in his world, both in the music world and his everyday world, in his relationship with his girlfriend, everything. I thought it really blew me away seeing it, even though it's a small, intimate relationship movie, seeing it on a big screen made all the difference. And right now you can still go to theaters and have a little distancing because not everyone has returned to theaters yet, but the theaters are making they're really trying to, they're doing all this extra cleaning and they're doing so many things trying to bring us back. I love going to movie theaters.
Hooman took us to Dune on Friday in IMAX, and that was it was so good to be back in a big way, in a big format for a big movie, and it just turned out wonderfully well.
Yeah, thank you for
Chris. Can you imagine watching Dune
on my phone? No.
Yes.
No, it'd be terrible. It's only if you have to. Only option you have. Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's go back to the theme of forgiveness, empathy, compassion. Is there a movie or two that might come to mind that kind of encompasses that for you?
I'm going to choose forgiveness because I have actually two movies that I think illustrated so beautifully. The first movie, I actually added, I call something my FECK principles, F-E-C-K. I'm writing a book called It's Time to Give a FECK. And FECK stands for forgiveness, empathy, compassion, and kindness. And even though F is at the beginning, I actually added F to the FECK principles toward the end because of a movie I saw. You know, I thought about forgiveness a lot when Nelson Mandela was released from prison and became the president of his country after being in prison for 27 years. And I saw how he moved through the world, how he didn't seem to carry a lot of resentment. He wasn't out for revenge. He wanted to make things better for everyone. Who could forgive at that level? I just didn't understand it. And I had a talk with, I went to South Africa and I met with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And he sat down and he talked to me about the decisions that they had to make about forgiveness when they were putting together the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And he said that they actually lost a lot of friends because of some of the, compromise that they did. But he said that you can't have forgiveness without, number one, someone admitting that there was a wrong or something, someone else was slighted. Number two, you have to be willing to not be a victim and to actually forgive. And he talked about forgiveness so much. But it was a movie that played at Ebertfest called Disturbing the Peace. It was about an organization of Israelis and Palestinians, and the name of the organization is Combatants for Peace. And the Palestinians and the Israelis, they had actually fought against each other, people in this particular group, But they signed a pledge that they wouldn't take up arms against each other, and they started learning about each other. And I think the organization is now over 10 years old, and they've met at the wall in Israel. They've done a lot of things around the world, and I realized how important forgiveness is. The empathy, the compassion, the kindness, all of that sometimes doesn't come into play until you've forgiven. And so that was one of the movies. And then there's a new movie called Passing, P-A-S-S-I-N-G. And I'm an executive producer on this movie. That's not why I'm mentioning it. I'm mentioning it because passing is a phenomenon primarily in the Black community, in the African-American community, when there were descendants of people who had been enslaved, and some of them had children with someone who had been the enslaver. And so some of the children could pass for white, and they did, so that they didn't have to be discriminated against, so they could become doctors and lawyers and engineers, so that they could become bankers and teachers and own land and have a lot of rights that as a descendant of a slave, they couldn't have. And this movie is about that, but it takes place in Harlem in around the 1930s. And it's a first time film by Rebecca Hall, a exquisite little gem of a movie. And you see one of the characters who could have passed for white, but she chose to live as a Black woman, going through the process of forgiving her friend for passing for white. So that's also, forgiveness came in that movie as well.
It sounds like a great movie. I'm very much looking forward to seeing it.
You know what's great about her two suggestions, Chaz, is two movies most people haven't heard of. And so you're opening up our minds. Give us an update on Ebert Fest 2022. When is it? Where is it? What's in the works?
Yay! Ebert Fest 22. Okay? We had to move the date twice, and it's going to take place April 20th to the 23rd in 2022. I don't know. I like saying that, April 20th, 23rd, 2022. There's something special about all of that. But we're going to show an Alfred Hitchcock movie because our audience members wanted to see an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And I think it was actually Phil Hopkins who suggested the 39 steps. You know, usually people want to see Vertigo Rear Window.
Or Psycho. Yeah. Psycho.
By the way, Phil Hopkins is our boss, everyone.
President of Fandor.
Yeah. All right. So anything else about Ebert Fest you want to tell us?
Yes. We are going to have... We found over the years that having some music really gets to people. It makes them happy. It makes our, so we're going to have a band, it's like a 10-piece orchestra.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to be accompanying a silent black and white movie. And I forget if this is the movie that has Josephine Baker I don't want to say what it is, but so we have an orchestra, but we're also going to have other people playing live music, but directly connected to some of the movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we're super excited. I'm hoping to attend with Chris Kelly and Bryn and Phil Hopkins.
Hopkins. You must come.
We'll take you up on that.
Come. We're going to do our best. Yeah.
And then Chaz, let's end with this. Tell us something about surprising about yourself. Your favorite sports team, hobby, what celebrity you like to have dinner with, anything. Surprise us.
Okay. Okay. All right. So one thing that, I've said, I don't know if I should say this because.
You should.
Okay. People are surprised that I used to be a hunter when I lived in Iowa. And my first husband was this great outdoorsman. And so we used to go hunting but we ate everything that we shot during the, you know, during the hunt. So I would shoot pheasant and, you know, and other small game, and we would invite people over and I'd cook a meal. So let me tell you this about the hunting, though.
Okay.
So when Roger and I were dating, we were on a film festival cruise with Rod Steiger, you know, an older movie star, and some other people.
He was in the heat of the night, by the way, everyone, with Sidney Poitier.
In the heat of the night, that's right, yeah. Rod Steiger. And we they had a skeet shooting contest, and Roger didn't participate, and he didn't know I was participating. I used to be a very good shot because I used to go down to the quarry and do rifle practice and, you know, target practice. And so Rod Steiger won first place, and I won second place.
Right.
But Roger didn't know that. And then when they were giving the awards, and they called up the winners, the first three winners of the contest, and I was getting up, and Roger said, no, this is for the skeet shooting, the shooting contest. I said, yes, I'm one of the winners. And he looked at me and said, you shoot guns? And it was just like, you know, yes. But actually, anyway, that's one thing that people are really surprised about. And I don't really hunt anymore. I don't. The second thing is I used to drive race cars.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
But nice. not on like the Indy 500 circuit. I was just an amateur. My husband used to race, and I used to drive in like only the amateur powder puff derbies that the women, you know, the women racing. And it wasn't on like a big racetrack. It was on like some dirt field in Iowa. So I don't do that anymore either. But I love, you know, doing that kind of outdoorsy stuff. And
Very cool.
I'm still, you know, this little girly girl. So
well, Chaz, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
So great to see you.
Tell us about all that you're doing, Ebert Fest 2022. Let's just end with, what's the website that people can find out more?
People can find out more at rogerebert.com.
Perfect.
All right, Chaz, we wish you nothing but the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
It was so much fun being with you guys today. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I hope to see you next year, April.
Yes,
20th,
exactly,
23rd.
April. Yep.
All right. 2022.
That's right.
At Ebert Fest.
Thank you for tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by Fandor. Sign up online or in the app for a free 1 week trial. Playing now on Fandor is The Snows of Kilimanjaro, a film based on the 1936 short story by Ernest Hemingway, starring Susan Hayward, Ava Gardner, and Gregory Peck as a writer who reflects on his life as he lies dying from an infection while in the shadow of Mount Kilimanjaro. That's Fandor, the home for cinephiles.